Good morning, church. It's always good to be home. I tell people around the world that I have two tribes, the Open Network, which you just saw, and Grace Community Church. And I am very, very excited because the conference that we've done for over a decade around the United States is going to be here in Grace Church in about 6 weeks. And I hope that you all come and can be a part of this. We'll be March 26th to 28th. You can register there. If you want to volunteer to be part of organizing things, talk to Karen Can. We're excited about that. And then we have every other year, as many of you know. How many of you have been a part of our conference overseas? Stand up and let people see who you are, okay? I know a number of you have been. Every 2 years, we meet overseas, and we have people who are involved in prayer and worship and childcare. And if you would like to be a part of those services, please, please talk to Karen Can and get involved, because I am so excited that the B4T Expo is going to be here in our church. And bring the two tribes together for the first time ever. It's really, really, I just want to jump up and down. I'm so excited about this. You may remember, maybe you don't remember, a year and a half ago, I spoke, I'm way ahead of the slides though. Come on, you're going to have to go up to my family here. Thank you. Maybe I'll just go like this, all right, so you can see. 2018, when I spoke, I talked about Genesis 2:15 and the importance of being fruitful and multiplying. So I want you to know that I have been faithful to that. The two grandchildren are now three, and maybe they're even watching right now. So that's a lot of fun. And as many of you know, this is where we live. row 23. Seat G, and I'll be sitting there in about 5 hours, headed to Santiago, Chile. This will be a fun conference. If you want to pray for us, they're expecting 5,000 to 7,000 students, and it is so humbling, you know, that many people want to come out to hear the things that God is doing and through the work that He has given us to do, mostly in Muslim countries, but some in Buddhist and Hindu areas as well. Reaching out to these people through the workplace. Which leads us to the question. As you know, we're on this series where various people have been discussing the questions that we all have submitted and the staff have put together for us to answer. And I find it interesting because I have four questions for you to answer today. And if you look at these four questions, you'll see, go ahead and put all four up, please, that they're all connected to our effectiveness in reaching out to the community. But I also find it interesting because Doug, you know, he's been doing most of this series, and he's been answering one or two questions every single week. And some have been phenomenal. I mean, last week on forgiveness, how many were blessed by that? Yeah. Phenomenal. But for my turn, I get four questions. He's got 35, 40 minutes for one or two. I get four in the same amount of time. Anyway, we love you, Doug. How many of us love Doug? Amen. When we think about these questions, how can I have influence in a society moving farther and farther away from the Bible and God? How can we disciple more effectively? How can I have influence in my non-religious family? How can I have more impact on those around me? I want to just tell you a little illustration. Picture this. There was three men working on a cathedral. And when I went and asked them, what are you doing? The first man said to me, I'm cutting stone. The second man said to me, I'm building a cathedral. And when I asked the third man, what is he doing? He said, I'm worshiping God. How do you view your life and work? Do you see it as a task? You're cutting, shaping some tool or stone or job that you're being paid to do? Or do you see it as worship being done unto God? That everything we do is worship, because how we answer this question affects how we respond to the four questions we're looking at today. Consider, Jesus says this to us. He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Finish the verse. What is it? That you love one another. We're not going to be recognized because of our height or our weight or our color. We're not going to be recognized by our religion or even what church we go to. We're not going to be known by how much hair we have on our head. What we're going to be recognized for is our love. Do we have love for one another? Do we love that noisy neighbor who swears all the time? Do we love our boss? Or what about that coworker, that know-it-all coworker who has all the answers and is never wrong? What about the mother-in-law or the son-in-law who doesn't respect us? Do we love them? Four questions. And when you look at these four questions, there's really just one answer. We need to love these people. In 1 Peter, it says, but you are a chosen people. I'm sorry, 1 John. It should be 1 Peter. Go ahead. 1 John 4, it says, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And then in 1 Peter, he says, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Look at this. We are chosen. You're not sitting here by accident. You're not part of this tribe by accident. We have been chosen. We're special. He says, we are a holy nation. We are a special possession. This is who we are. And it says that we are priests. Every single one of us who knows Jesus is a priest. And he has placed us in our community, in our workplace, amongst the families that we are in for a purpose, to be priests to them. What is involved in being a priest? There's many things, but I just want to highlight a couple, and very quickly, a priest heals. A priest invites. A priest encourages. A priest serves. A priest intercedes for others. God gives us special ingredients that we are to use in reaching out to others. Forgiveness. Grace. In love. I have studied the world's religions. I've read their books. And these are distinctions that we have that no other religion has. We have forgiveness. We have a grace. We have a personal relationship with God. Nobody else offers these things. And we need to understand that if our assignment is to be priests, ministers to others, that we have to recognize we're not cutting stone, we're not building a cathedral, we are worshiping God in everything that we do. He is the focal point. That is our responsibility. And if we see ourselves as anything other than worshipers of Jesus, we're really in sin because we're out of fellowship with Him. And we need to repent of that. And that is the truth. And though the truth sometimes hurts, we need to grasp Luke 9:23. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Taking up his cross, that's not an easy assignment. And it doesn't really matter the other things we get excited about. I mean, think about it. Many of us get more worked up about politics than we do Jesus. Say that twice. Many of us get more worked up about politics than we do about Jesus. Many of us get more upset about things going on in our workplace than we do about loving the people in our workplace. Amen. Many of us get more excited about the Tigers and the Red Wings than we do about Jesus. Now, I'm a fan of the Tigers and the Red Wings. And as you all know, 14 weeks out of the year, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Just 14. For those who don't know, there's 16 games in the season. But you know, as I was thinking about this, I realized one of the reasons why Daniel, you know, he went into this den, right? And he came out okay. It finally dawned on me, you know, why was this such a great miracle? Well, it really wasn't such a great miracle because I realized he went into the lion's den.
That's a good one, brother.
That's a good one. Give the credit to Jesus. But the key is love in all of these things. So the question that brings these questions together is, do we love our neighbors, our coworkers, our family? How are we responding to them? Are we letting them get under our skin? Are we letting Satan get that little bitter root into us that distracts us and keeps us from loving people the way he wants us to love them? John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We've got to get this into us. So I want everyone right now to stand up. Right where you are, stand up. Read this verse, and I want you right now to obey this verse, John 13, don't put the verse back up so they don't forget what it says. I want you to apply this verse right now, please. Apply it. I want you to love one another. Okay, that's enough love. You can sit down.
Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, your hands are cold.
Yes, they are. Now, you applied this verse to love one another. What happened? Most of you hug somebody?
Yes.
Touch somebody? Anybody give anybody money? You did something. Love is not a noun. Now, maybe it is a noun in the English language, but in the Bible, it is a verb. It is an action. It's things we are to be doing. Doing in the relationships with even the people we hate. The Bible teaches us we are to love our enemies. We're not to retaliate. We're not to get revenge. We are to love them. Do we know our neighbors, co-workers, and family? Because knowledge enables love. We want to know God because as we know Him better, we can love Him better. And if you're married, it's the same relationship. Or with close friends, the better we know them, the more we love them. We have to know people. Do we know our neighbors, friends, and co-workers? Do they have illnesses? Do they have financial problems? Love asks questions. Do we know our family's needs? Our neighbor's needs? Our co-workers' needs? God expects our best. Are we giving our best at work, at play, with our neighbors? Are we doing our best? We are taught to proclaim the gospel. And when I was young, I was told, you need to get out there and you need to preach the gospel. So I went out and I preached the gospel. How's that working for you? Didn't work for me very well. I would talk to people and talk to people and talk to people, and maybe 1 out of 1,000 came to Christ. Maybe. It was very discouraging. And I blamed Satan. And I did this for many, many years. And one day I was complaining to God about how this isn't working, and blaming Satan, and he said very clearly to me, you know, Satan's not in this at all. He said, you're just stupid. Okay. What do I mean? Well, John 13:35, you've memorized it. Pay attention. It's actions. It's love. We need to be loving people. In our actions, because what he helped me to understand, he led me to Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, it's the story of John the Baptist sending his disciples to Jesus and saying, hey, are you the Messiah or should we look for somebody else? And do you remember how Jesus answered? He said, well, of course, remind John of the wonderful virgin birth I had. No. Or, remind John of my great knowledge of the scriptures. No. He said, remind John, tell John what you see me doing. Seeing is believing. And when I stopped talking and I started doing, with my co-workers, with my neighbors, all of a sudden, Muslims started coming to Christ. Things began to change. They began to see Jesus. And you know, when they see grace, when they see love, when they see forgiveness, when they experience somebody who actually is personally relating to God out in the world, They're blown away. They don't have those things. And I have never met anybody who doesn't want grace, forgiveness, love, and a personal relationship with God. Never. But you see, they're not buying because of our words. And we don't buy because of somebody's words, do we? You meet a salesman and he says, I got the world's greatest product. Do you go and buy it? No. You want to see it work. You want to experience it. And then you'll buy. It's the same thing with the gospel. We've got to demonstrate it. What you do speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you say. These are Emerson's words. Excellence is a witness. We need to strive to live with excellence. When I was in seminary, I remembered a couple of things, and one of them was this little poem. You're writing the gospel a chapter each day by the things that you do and the words that you say. You are writing the gospel according to you. Oh, I'm sorry. In writing the gospel according to you, I can better read it here. In writing the gospel, people read what you write, distorted or true. What is the gospel according to you? In John, 1 John 3, it says, let us not love in word or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So I want to give you an assignment. I have illustrations for all of these, and I don't have time to tell the stories, but 7 options I want to give you. And I want you to apply one of these options this next week, all right? As we go through these 7, because I've learned as people do these things, they begin to see their coworkers, friends, and neighbors come to Christ. The first one is simply this. In your house, in your place of work, go out and get a sign or make a sign and put up that sign on your wall. It may be a verse, it may be just a heart, love one another, it may be choose joy, it may be anything like that, but put it up in your place of work. Put it on your wall. People are going to ask you, why is that there? Don't share the gospel with them. They're not ready. But just explain to them, I want to have a reminder of Jesus in my work. Let them know that Jesus is important in what you're doing. Anna went through one of our trainings, and she did that. And somebody came by and asked her about it. And she worked for a bank that actually had in the contract, you cannot talk about religion in the workplace. And when I explained this option to her, and she thought, well, yeah, I can actually put up a poster. I can't talk about religion, but I can put up a poster. She put up the poster, and the very first day, coworker came by, and what's that? And she said, well, I can't explain it to you now, but if you want to have lunch, I can explain it to you. So they went out for lunch, and she led the lady to Christ. But you can't share the gospel in the workplace. Second thing to think about that you may want to do is visit the sick. Anybody, neighbor, family member, coworker? Most of us have been in the hospital, right? It's pretty lonely, isn't it? Pretty dark place. I remember Frank went through our training and he chose, okay, I'm going to get to know Charlie. Charlie was his coworker. He was the guy that nobody liked. Ornery, swore, no friends, divorced twice. Nobody liked this guy, but he was so good at what he did, they wouldn't fire him. So Frank decided to befriend Charlie and love Charlie. 8 months, he kept trying, helping, reaching out, and everything. Frank was negative, negative, negative. And then Frank went skiing and broke his leg. He's in the hospital for several days. So Charlie went and visited him. Twice, prayed for him. After that, Frank had to go home and rest for a few more days before he came back to work, and Charlie called him a couple of times. The first day that Frank came back to work, he came straight to Charlie and said, why do you care? Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Why do you care? Charlie says, you know why? Yeah, I know why. It's that Jesus thing. But I want to know why. You really want to know why? Charlie had talked about Jesus' little snippets, never shared the gospel fully, just let Frank know it's Jesus. But once he saw that Frank had that urgency, that dire hunger to know, he wasn't stony or thorny ground anymore. He was ready for the seed. And so he shares the gospel. Frank surrendered his life to Christ. Guess what happens when the guy everybody hates gets filled with the love of Jesus? Charlie told me that the majority of his office has come to faith because of Frank. They saw the tremendous transformation in his life. Third thing, be generous. Compliment, reward people, give bonuses if you're in that position. And even if you're not, give them Snickers or whatever to bless them. People love to be noticed and rewarded for the things that they do. One of my own coworkers, named Sue, in blessing her in such a way after one day of she'd been working with me for at least about 3 years, she came to me and said, "You know, I want to be like you. How do I do that?" And today, her whole family's in the kingdom. Assist others. Help others with their jobs. Yeah, we've got our things to do. We can't do it all the time. But try to plan into your work week some time to help somebody else with their job. Let them notice your desire to help. A fifth thing, buy a card. Thank somebody. Or a birthday card to celebrate. Or get them a cup. Cake. Write them notes. Help them to see that you care, you notice. Learn their names. It's amazing how many times we work with people and we don't know their names. We don't know their spouses' names. We don't know their children's names. We don't know what's special with them. Salty statements. There's lots of things that we can talk about with salty statements. We can talk about why do bad things happen to good people. We can talk about death. We can talk about character. We can talk about religion. All of these things are things people talk about, they think about. And sometimes you may say, "Well, I don't know the answers to some of these things. I don't have the confidence." You think I do? I can remember the first time I walked into a Buddhist temple, the first time I walked into a Hindu temple, the first time I walked into a mosque. But you see, that's where we get fooled. We think it's all about us. It's not about us. If Jesus is living in me, he will speak through me. And I've seen this time after time after time after time. But I have to walk in. I have to step out. Peter had to step out of the boat. We all remember that he started sinking, but what we forget, he also walked on water. And if we're going to walk on water, we have to step out of the boat. We have to take a chance. It's called faith. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. But making mistakes is sometimes the best witness. Because when I screw up, I don't make an excuse. I don't defend myself. I accept responsibility. And my coworkers and my neighbors are like, "Wow, why would you do that?" Well, because that's what Jesus did. He took responsibility for my sins. And I want to take responsibility for my actions. So, four questions, one answer. We need to love people because he has loved us. Father, we thank you that the assignment you've given us is a simple one word. And we thank you that though this assignment is one word, it's very hard to apply. But it's not something we have to apply out of our own strength, our own knowledge, our own wisdom. We just need to learn to to let you live through us. And I do pray for each woman, each man here, that you would help them to think through one of these seven things as an opportunity to love their family, their neighbors, their friends. For Lord, this city, this country has a lot of hatred. It's a lot of crime. We need to learn to respond in love. Help us to do that. Lord, we need to learn that when people hit us and attack us, we don't need to defend ourselves. We just need to turn the other cheek. We need to understand these things and apply them. But Lord, it is so hard. And sometimes it hurts so much. But as John said earlier, that's what this tribe is all about. It's bringing the medicine, healing, sharing, encouraging, building one another up. And I thank you that you've given me the opportunity to be a part of a church that does that. Help us to be strong. Help us to step out, to be Jesus, in spite of our humanness, that your love would flow in this community, in this city, for your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Let's thank Brother Rob. Hey, as the group prayed for you this morning, there was a great sense that we needed to each be open to what God has for you. They didn't know what Rob was going to preach, so it seems very appropriate. We have people that would love to meet down here and pray with you. Some of you were moved throughout this service. Know that God is calling you towards something. Allow us just to stand with you and pray over that. If you have a physical need, spiritual need, whatever that is, join us down here. We can pray for you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.